Good evening, good morning, wherever you may be. Thank you for tuning in to the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM, sitting in for George Norrie. I'm Dave Schrader. Got a great show lined up for you this evening. Eric Altman from the Pennsylvania Cryptozoological Society will join me in the first hour. We're going to talk about reports of Bigfoot sightings that took place back in the early 2000s, and a very strange rash of these sightings at Chestnut Ridge. We'll be discussing that. Then a little later on in the show, hours 2, 3, and 4, John Sable and Mary Becker will join me. We're going to talk about ghost excavations. I've been involved in paranormal investigating myself now actively for 12 years, always looking for ways to try to understand the basis of a haunted location. What makes something haunted? And if there truly is a haunting taking place there, how do we make a connection to that haunting to have communication in a two-way fashion? Our guests have really kind of dialed it in the work that they're doing. We're going to share some, I think, really interesting electronic voice phenomena and electronic recordings of disembodied voices and sounds from different times. Hearing from this man, John Sable, on how he is able to peel back the layers of time, excavating the paranormal to get to these specific spots and communicate through history with the spirits that reside there. It sounds strange. It sounds out there. But I've spoken with this man in person. I've spoken with him on our show Darkness Radio in the past. And fascinating man, fascinating concepts and thoughts and beliefs. And it might reopen up your awareness in minds to the possibilities of the unseen forces that are around us every day. How easy is it for us to make this communication once we understand what needs to be done? That's part of what we're going to discuss a little bit later on in the show. Hey, there's some interesting news coming in. A researcher in Washington State suspects that a half-mile series of intriguing tracks discovered in the snow earlier this week may be a sign of Sasquatch. The odd impressions were found on Monday by a resident in the town of Sunny Slope who noticed the prints in a field. A subsequent investigation by veteran Bigfoot researcher Paul Graves shed additional light on the trail of tracks that boasted an enormous stride. According to his observations, the tracks measure around 2 feet long and approximately 5 inches wide at the heel, but were strangely only 2 inches deep. Now, Graves' theory for the remarkably shallow depth of the prints is that it is due to both natural weathering and the enormous foot of the Sasquatch acting almost like a snowshoe for the creature. A closer examination of the prints indicated that there were no signs that they came from deer hooves, and the incredible single-file nature of the line of tracks seems impossible for a human to accomplish while wearing snowshoes. Along with a group of other researchers and a local reporter, Graves tracked the lengthy trail of prints through two orchards, a field, and even across a road. While skeptics will no doubt suggest any number of natural, non-Bigfoot-related causes for this perplexing series of prints, Graves and his fellow investigators are fairly confident that tracks came from this legendary cryptid. Unfortunately, since the tracks were not found until long after their creator had left the area, the investigators were left with little more than photos, measurements, and some plaster casts of the prints. That said, the puzzling prints themselves are perfectly timed to the news earlier in the week that Bigfoot is about to be named Washington State's official cryptid. With that in mind, perhaps the tracks found in Sunny Slope were simply the result of Sasquatch celebrating its impending title with a night on the town. When we return, we're going to take a look at Sasquatch and a very strange rash of sightings that took place. We'll do that when we return with our guest Eric Altman here on Coast to Coast AM. Eric Altman is up with us first here from the Pennsylvania Cryptozoology Society, a non-kill group that investigates submitted reports in conducts these kind of researches into the area of reported activity of Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and other cryptids. He's here with us this evening. We're going to talk about the bizarre encounters in the Chestnut Ridge area in Pennsylvania. Eric, welcome back to Coast AM.
Good evening, David. Good to talk to you again, my friend.
Good to talk to you, too. Now, real quickly here, I mean, there's some exciting weird news popping up every week, it seems, in the field of Bigfoot. And we're going to go back in time to talk a little bit about the the Chestnut Ridge area, but is there anything new popping out there we should be aware of?
There's always things popping up in the media, as you're aware of. Like you mentioned, the tracks that were found in Washington State, and recent reports from all around the country that pop up week to week. It seems like the media has really picked up on the Bigfoot craze, and they're reporting something new every week.
Are there any cases that have come up in the last year that really have started to set investigators on a new course that, you know, hey, I think we're getting closer and closer to discovering this? Or is it just as elusive today as it's been since 1967 in the Patterson, you know, Gimlin film?
To me, it's still just as elusive. I haven't really seen anything really pop up in the last 5 or 10 years that's really led us in the direction of discovery. There's been a lot of claims that have come out and a lot of claims of DNA that's been released, but they all seem to end up in the same place, a dead end. And there hasn't been anything significant that's come out that's really impressed me. I'm still at it, and I've been at it for about 20 years. And as long as this search has been going on now, we still haven't found conclusive proof. So nothing really has jumped out and really made me take notice. And maybe that's kind of a jaded opinion, but I really haven't seen anything that really has caught my attention in the last few years, especially.
We hear constantly about these tufts of fur and footprints. In the real world and science and looking at these pieces of reported evidence, are we finding anything that's giving us hope that we're getting closer to understanding this creature or perhaps capturing one in the future? Or, you know, and I don't mean that necessarily in a negative way, but I mean capturing one so that there's definitive proof of this.
Well, I don't necessarily know if capturing one is possible at this point. There is the technology is really advanced to the point now where gathering some of this equipment to either collect data as far as audio or video has become very much affordable to the amateur researchers who are doing this. So the technology has come down in price and made it much more affordable to have these tools that we need to collect good vocal evidence, audio evidence, visual evidence. And they even offer some possible DNA kits out there that you can collect the fur that you might find and have it sent off to labs. The price on DNA testing has really come down in price as well. So we're getting a little bit closer, but as far as capturing one, I don't think we're at that point quite yet.
All right, well, let's talk about the Chestnut Ridge area and the sightings that took place. When did this begin?
Well, the Chestnut Ridge, for the listeners that aren't familiar with it, it's the farthest western ridge of the Appalachian Mountains that runs through Pennsylvania. And it's a 100-mile stretch-long ridge that runs from Indiana County south into Preston, West Virginia. It covers Indiana County, Westmoreland County, and Fayette County. And the activity that goes on in the Chestnut Ridge is just absolutely bizarre. It's not just Bigfoot and cryptid sightings that take place in that area. There's UFO sightings, there's tons of hauntings, strange anomalous sounds that are reported by witnesses that live in this area. So the area has a long history of strange and anomalous activity that goes on there. The Bigfoot activity that I'm familiar with, and that you've had Stan Gordon on the show before, he's documented, goes back to 1931 in the Chestnut Ridge in Fayette County, near a little village called Indian Head. And the sightings that are down there have gone on year after year, decade after decade, and they continue to go on. And it seems like in the last 10 to 15 years, they've really picked up in quantity, as well as interesting and very weird reports that have come out of the Chestnut Ridge.
With the different reports that have been seen and come out of there, are we getting anything that's really kind of captured the attention of researchers again, or is it still this kind of footprints, tufts of fur, sounds that are anomalous that we don't really know what creatures, you know, creating them?
Well, there's been some very close range sightings that have been reported within the last 5 to 10 years out of the Chestnut Ridge. I'm talking incidents where people have actually had the creature come up and make contact with their vehicles. People have had to drive around the creature in the middle of a road to avoid from hitting it. People have had the creature literally run out in front of a car and have to stop their car so they wouldn't have to hit it. People have come within feet of creatures in their backyards that border the Chestnut Ridge. So there's been a lot of very close range sightings that have taken place in the last 5 to 10 years.
How is that possible that in the day and age where everybody has Kindles, iPads, iPhones, Droids, they've got cameras available everywhere, how are we not capturing solid footage and photographic proof if this is taking place so regularly in this area?
Well, that's a great question. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that people are caught off guard. The researchers that, like myself, that are out there doing this, of course, we're well equipped with audio and visual cameras, but having an encounter or a sighting is a very rare thing to happen. And when it does happen, I think the witnesses, especially from talking with them, I've gotten the impression and the understanding that witnesses weren't out there purposefully looking for the creature. They're going about their normal activities, their normal daily activities, and they happen to have this encounter. And it happens so quickly, within a few seconds, they don't have time to react, to pull up a cell phone, to start to videotape it or take a picture. Usually when they see this thing, they're surprised, they're caught off guard, and by the time they realize what they're seeing, they're pulling up their camera or whatever they might be pulling up, and this creature's already either crossed the road or into the woods and gone from sight, or if they are successful at taking a picture, it's a blurry photo because the creature's running away from them, and they don't have time to focus or get the camera specifically on the creature to take a good picture or video of it.
That's got to be frustrating as somebody like yourself that is really dedicated to the advancements of the idea that these creatures do exist and trying to cull this evidence. And here there's a location that is well known, well populated for these Bigfoot sightings, yet nothing is coming out conclusively except for eyewitness accounts, which are great, but we know even in a court of law, eyewitness accounts don't amount to much.
Right, and it is frustrating. There are a number of researchers who have, since the 1980s into today, have really taken up the reins, so to speak, and really started to look into the Chestnut Ridge. And there are groups out there that go into this area on a regular basis, and like I do, and we field these reports, we take down the eyewitness information, and we're out there with our recording devices, our cameras, our video cameras, our thermal flares, our GoPros, hoping that we're able to catch something on video, and so far we've been unsuccessful. I guess it's a case of not being in the right place at the right time, and there's more and more people getting involved, which is great, but that also leads to more and more people out there that might be doing the research and then hearing something knocking on a tree, which might be another Bigfoot researcher, or hearing a howl and it might be somebody making a call attempting to attract a Bigfoot. So we run into that problem too. So it's frustrating in that aspect that we haven't gotten really good conclusive proof, but we're still at it. We're still trying our best to collect that data.
When there is a concentrated area like this, where there are so many sightings taking place on a regular basis, why do you think that actual, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful, but actual zoological researchers have not checked into this area? I mean, we will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, up to millions of dollars, to check the migrating pattern of a specific bird or the anxiety attacks of monkeys, but we won't go to an area where there is a lot of activity being reported from many different reliable sources.
Well, right, and that's what's so frustrating is amateur researchers have taken up the call to investigate this because the professionals refuse to look at this. They want a body. They want a part of a body or some kind of concrete proof to really get behind this. Now, as you and I both know, over the last several years, we've seen more and more researchers, scientific researchers, anthropologists, primatologists, beginning to get involved in the study. They're starting to take a little closer look at it, but not the scope that we need to prove that this animal is real. And until we have a body or part of a body or some kind of conclusive proof to hand over to these scientists, I really don't think they're going to take the subject seriously.
See, that's interesting to me. For a long time, gorillas were considered a mythological creature. And we're not that far removed from that, Eric. I mean, it's 100, 150 years that we've known of the true existence of gorillas. And there weren't pieces laying around that they were bringing back. There was a lot. It was followed up on mythology and the belief in this. And sure enough, we pushed it, pressed it, and there we found them. And they did exist. So, again, you've got an area that's really ripe with this kind of activity, but science refuses to take a stand or at least acknowledge us. Or do you believe? Are you part of the conspiratorial sect that believes that science and the government already know these exist and they're burying the truth on something like this?
Well, I've never run across a government official or a scientist per se that have told me they definitively know for a fact that these animals are there. I don't know if there's a cover-up going on or not. I've never experienced that. I've talked to several federal officials as far as like park rangers or national park rangers who are interested in the subject, but they've never admitted to me that they know for a fact these animals are real. Now, there are some rare instances where I know a couple of park rangers that have had a sighting and seen a creature, and they've gotten involved in the research. But as a whole, the Forestry Department, the DNR, they're not actively involved in looking for these creatures. And I don't know if there is a cover-up. Some researchers will say, yes, there is, and they've had experiences with federal officials or state officials that are covering up this information. I can't say honestly if there is or not. I've never experienced it myself.
All right. I know there's been a lot of hubbub over this killing Bigfoot phenomenon and what people are talking about, and you know that this is garnering the attention. But do you think, even as a researcher yourself, is it okay to talk about that and have a show about this? Because it's, you know, let's face it, it's a controversial title and topic for the show. But does it drive an interest enough for people to take a hard-edged look at investigating these claims and getting out there?
Well, I don't know if the show itself would push more people into the woods to investigate or research. Mm-hmm. I think the shows that have been out there for a while now, like Finding Bigfoot or Mountain Monsters, have really drawn attention to the phenomenon. And there are more researchers out there in the field investigating now. I don't know if it would draw more people, more hunters in the woods trying to shoot and kill one of these creatures. That remains to be seen, you know, what happens as a result of the show. The group on the show, the GCBR, or the Gulf Coast Bigfoot Research Organization, they've been at this for a long, long time, far long before the show came out, and their stance has always been pro-kill. Now, I'm a non-kill researcher. The group I run, the Pennsylvania Cryptozoology Society, we're a non-kill group. We believe in a passive research, collecting data through audio, through visual if possible, collecting hair if we find it, footprint cast, scat if we're able to find any scat, anything like that that we can turn over to researchers that we work with, scientific researchers we work with. We don't want to harvest a specimen, but the unfortunate sad truth is the only way that science is going to recognize an animal that exists is a body. And whether it's a live captured specimen or a killed specimen, that's the only way they're going to take the subject seriously. So what the GCBRO is doing, and although I don't agree with their methods, they are out there trying to harvest one of these creatures and prove it to science that they do exist. So they may be doing a benefit to the field or to the creatures. It remains to be seen.
I know you've got an event coming up, an event for charity, as a matter of fact, that has to do with Bigfoot. Why don't you tell our listeners about what's going on with that?
Yeah, I have an event coming up in May. It is a charity fundraiser. We're raising funds for three charities in the Chestnut Ridge area, as a matter of fact, in Fayette County, Pennsylvania. And what it is, I've been at this for a long time, and I've hosted other events in the past where they've been Bigfoot conferences, much like the paranormal conferences you and I have attended. But I've never hosted an event like this until last year, where I give folks the opportunity to come out in the field, hear from researchers and investigators, hear what they're doing, share some of the evidence and some of the stories they've collected over the years, get involved with workshops at the event, and get a chance to go out in the field hiking and searching for Bigfoot and Bigfoot evidence. And the event is called the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure, and that we give folks a chance to come out and join us for a weekend in May. It's May 5th, 6th, and 7th. And they can come out to southwestern Pennsylvania, and they can camp with us. They can talk with other eyewitnesses who are going to be there sharing their stories and encounters. They'll hear from lecturers such as Stan Gordon, Rosemary Ellen Guiley will be there, David Weatherly will be there, our good friend Trapper from the TV show Mountain Monsters will be there. Tonight's guest, John Sable Jr., will be there as well. He'll be lecturing on his trip to Falk, Arkansas, looking for the Boggy Creek Monster back in the early 1970s.
All right, we're coming up to a break. What website can they check out to get information?
PABigfootCampingAdventure.com.
All right, make sure you check that website out. If you have questions for Eric or your own Bigfoot sightings, give us a call now. We'll talk with you and talk with Eric Altman when we return to Coast AM. Eric Altman is my guest this hour. We're going to take some of your phone calls in a few moments. And a little bit later, we're going to be joined by John Sable and Mary Becker. We're going to talk about excavating ghosts, how we can communicate with the other side, and hear some stunning evidence that they've collected over the years at places like Antietam. Some of the most interesting audio I've ever heard when it comes to paranormal investigations. So we'll share that with you and some of their stories. We'll also open up phone lines in hour four if you have questions you'd like to talk with our guests about. You can certainly be a part of the show with us. Hey, George Norrie has a live stage show coming May 6th. If you're interested in seeing George and his lineup of guests, check out Ticketmaster.com. Type in George Norrie in the search engine and get your tickets now. They're going to go fast. And remember, if you like what you hear here on Coast to Coast AM, you're going to love what you see on Beyond Belief, George Norrie's TV show. Check all the information out for yourself. See what I'm talking about. You're going to love it. BeyondBelief.com. That is George Norrie's TV program. All that information, everything that you need to find out about Coast to Coast, the guests you hear, the speakers you hear, the guest hosts you hear on the show, what George is up to, all of that is one conveniently placed location. Go check out coasttocoastam.com. And while you're there, become a Coast Insider. Treat yourself. It's time you sign up. You'll get access to 5 years of past archives. You're going to get access to live chats with George, other hosts of the show, some of the fascinating guests. It's all right there for you. Very affordable. Comes down to about 15 cents a day for a one-year subscription. So go sign up. You'll find out why we are the best in overnight talk radio, and you'll never miss out on another minute of Coast to Coast AM. When we return, your phone calls and some of the actual case files from Chestnut Ridge. We'll do that when we return to Coast AM. Eric Altman here with me from the Pennsylvania Cryptozoology Society. Eric, I had a lot of listeners emailing me and hitting me up on social media. What is the website again that can go to find out more information about your event that's coming up?
Oh, that's PA, that's in Pennsylvania, PABigfootCampingAdventure.com.
All right, PABigfootCampingAdventure.com. Very short and to the point. I like that. let me hear about a couple of the case files from this investigation and these stories that took place. I'm fascinated to hear what actually happened and what people have discussed in the Chestnut Ridge area.
Well, this is a pretty interesting case that took place in July of 2010 that started off a wave of sightings in the Fayette County area that I was actively involved in investigating. It was about July 10th, about 6:45 in the evening, and a woman was driving home from work, and she was driving through the town of Uniontown, Pennsylvania. It's a very populated city in southwestern Pennsylvania. And she was driving through a very suburban neighborhood, a lot of homes, like your downtown city, a downtown town. And as she was driving home, she was passing a middle school on her left, and coming up on her right was a pharmacy. I believe it was a Rite Aid pharmacy. And as she was driving north on the street, she saw a figure come running through the middle school yard, like the schoolyard, towards her vehicle. And because it's such a populated little neighborhood, she suspected it was a child or a teenager running towards her car. And for fear of hitting this child, she brought her car to a stop and slammed her brakes on. And this figure jumped off the retaining wall of the middle school yard and continued into the roadway. And that's when she realized that it wasn't a teenager or a child. It was actually a bipedal creature covered with hair, and it was running in direct line of her vehicle. And she thought for sure this thing was going to collide with the front end of her vehicle as she sat there. And interestingly enough, the creature did not run into the front of her vehicle. Instead, it leapt over the trunk of her vehicle and entered into the parking lot, the pharmacy parking lot, continued running down the street, and she watched this thing as it disappeared from sight. And she sat there for a while trying to come to her senses as to what she just saw. She was just kind of shaken up about it. And she reached out to a local research group who in turn contacted me. And my team at that time, we went down and talked with the woman, and we got her story in person. You could still see she was emotionally shaken up by what she had seen and what she experienced. And we looked at her car to see if there was any evidence. And sure enough, on the left rear bumper quarter panel, there were large scrape marks as if some kind of animal or something brushed up against the back of her car. And that itself kicked off a wave of sightings in the Fayette County of Chestnut Ridge that went on from 2009 through probably 2012. We had over 35 sighting reports come in over that 2-3 year period.
All right, let's mix in a couple of calls and we'll hear about some of these other case files. Wildcard Line 1, Cindy in Missouri, you're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Eric. I disagree with you on what you said about the killing of these animals. I listened to another show. I'm not going to say the show, but the guy that does the hunting on that show, they are actually getting hunted themselves. These people, these animals are going up against their windows trying to get to their children, and it's just horrible what these animals are doing. They're killing dogs. I mean, it's just, it's awful. I don't blame them for wanting to kill them. I don't know why you wouldn't want to.
Well, that's a great point. And although I am a non-kill advocate, there are situations where if any kind of wild animal comes onto your property and poses a threat to your children or your animals, your livestock, of course you're going to want to defend your family. And if that's the situation where you have to defend yourself from these creatures, then I don't have a problem if you have to do that to protect your family. I'm not an advocate of going out and hunting these creatures down. I don't feel there's a need to, as long as they're not aggressively attacking someone or causing problems, killing animals on property or destroying property. Like a coyote or a wolf or any kind of animal like that, you know, I wouldn't go out and actively hunt one of those animals unless they were causing problems for my family or for any kind of wildlife animals, livestock, domesticated animals. That's the only reason I would go out and try to hunt or kill one of these creatures.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling in, Cindy. Let's go to Wildcard Line 2, Jim in Courtside, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Eric. Jim from Quartzsite. Actually, let me give you a little background on me. I'm from the other side of the Appalachians from where he's at. I'm from over around Gettysburg originally. Now, I was raised in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s there, and we had a Bigfoot sighting in the lower end of Carroll County. Now, that I was kind of young, so I'm not real sure on the details, but sketches and everything, I kind of might know what that is. But I was a truck driver for the better part of 26 years. Disabled and retired now. I've lived in northern Washington right along the Canadian border, and I've traveled probably 3 million miles professionally. Wow. A lot of those miles were up and down the Appalachians in a dump trailer. Now, that being said, the area that he is talking about is very active for both UFOs and Bigfoot sightings. Okay? I consider myself an amateur ufologist. That's why I'm in Arizona in the winter. The thing I'm getting at is, what if the government is not releasing information about this stuff, and they know they exist, but they're covering it up because it coincides with missing people from national parks and UFO sightings and stuff like that? Because there's a large number of Bigfoot and UFO sightings that coincide with each other around the country.
That is correct. There have been more and more reports coming from around the country of the UFO and Bigfoot activity occurring either simultaneously or within a proximity of time or a space. I mean, somebody sees a Bigfoot in one area, then shortly after the UFO is reported. That is being reported more and more across the country. And it was prevalent here in Pennsylvania in the early 1970s when Stan Gordon was investigating those cases. So that does happen. As far as government cover-up, as I said earlier, I've never had any personal experience dealing with any of the government officials or anybody in that line of work that has alluded to me that there is some kind of cover-up going on. Other researchers have brought that possibility to light and have cited reasons for it. And you bring up a good point. Maybe these missing people are one of the reasons, if they are covering it up, is why they are. And you also have to take into consideration the lumbering lumbering community. If Bigfoot is found to be real and proven to exist, that may drastically affect the lumbering industry. They may stop lumbering in certain areas to protect habitat, or they may want to protect people from, you know, going into the woods and looking actively for Bigfoot with a gun to shoot and kill it. We don't need people getting shot accidentally. So there might be a lot of different reasons why, if the government truly is covering this up, why they are covering it up.
All right. Talk to us about, and thank you for calling in, Jim. Talk to us about another one of the case files from Chestnut Ridge. I'm fascinated by these stories.
Yeah, this one happened, as a matter of fact, this happened in this past May 2015, where two gentlemen were driving down a mountainous road in Fayette County in the Chestnut Ridge about 11:30 at night, and this was reported to an area researcher took the report, and I had the chance to go and actually investigate the location to see if there was any evidence of it. But this took place about 11:30 at night, and this was back in May of 2016. And these two guys were driving home in the evening. It was raining pretty heavily, and it was pretty foggy out. And they're driving down a back mountain road. And as they're driving along, they're not driving very fast because weather conditions didn't permit it. But as they're driving along, they witness this large animal come down off the embankment on their left, cross the road within a few steps, and down the embankment into the wooded area on their right. And when they first saw this, they thought, well, was that a bear? What kind of large animal was it? They didn't get a really good look at it because, as I mentioned, the weather conditions weren't suitable to see something clearly. But they came to a stop, and they got a flashlight out of the glove box, and they were looking down the embankment on the right to see if they could see what kind of animal crossed the road in front of them. And as they were sitting there looking to the right, movement to their left caught their eye, and they looked, and a second animal came down off the embankment on their left and walked into the roadway ahead of their car and stopped. And as they looked forward, they could definitely see this animal standing in front of their vehicle was on two legs. It was dark brown in color, almost black, and it stood there looking at them as they were looking at it. And trying to gain their composure, figuring out what exactly this thing was, they decided they were going to back up and maybe this animal would continue crossing the road down into the woods and they could continue on their way home. Well, they started to back up and this animal didn't move. It stood right in the middle of the roadway staring at them. Well, they figured, well, maybe if we drive forward towards this animal, that'll spook it and it'll go across the road and down the embankment. Again, the animal stood there and didn't move. It held its ground. Finally, they got to the point where they were almost on top of the animal, and they slowed down, and they bumped this animal with the bumper of their car. The animal didn't move. Instead, it leaned down with both hands, put both hands on the hood of their car, and looked directly into the windshield of the car right at the two gentlemen. And there was a stare-off.
Nope. Time to back up and go home.
This went on for a few seconds, and finally the animal turned and crossed the roadway down the embankment and disappeared. And the gentlemen were pretty shook up about what they experienced. They got home, and they knew a local researcher in the area. They contacted him. He went up and did the initial investigation. The case was passed off to myself and some other area researchers. We went up to look for any evidence, any signs. We did find some large game trails on the area, but we did not find any footprints. We did not find any definitive evidence that any animal crossed the road other than these game trails. And I think that's large in part due to the heavy rain the night before. But I know from where this area this happened that several years before this sighting occurred, I was investigating cases within a mile as a crow flies from this location. So I know there's been sightings in that area, but a very fascinating case where two guys bump their vehicle into a Bigfoot standing there looking at them.
Yeah, that's why I stay indoors a lot, Eric. Wildcard Line 3, Scott in Okaloosa, Iowa. You're on the air.
Hey, how you both doing? I hope you're doing great. Now,
yeah,
I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but
okay,
I've been hunting many years.
Uh-huh.
So let me just make some comments. I'll take whatever he has to say off here. There's been years of hunting Bigfoot. I mean, just years.
Mm-hmm.
USA Hunting, okay? Last year, we had the largest standing army in the world, if you want to call them that, the hunters. 12,700,000. This can all be checked. Just Google it. There are over 70 million trail cams. Most are left out through the year. That's not true every year. You've got hikers. Everybody's heard of L.L. Bean. Everybody's heard of Cabela's. These companies make billions in a decade. There's so many hikers out there. There are 4x4s and 4-wheelers, and yet nothing really, only eyewitnesses. The other thing is you get a lot of satellites out there. I think India just put up 104. Roadkill. How about roadkill? We've all seen anything that lives in the timber or lives in the field on the road dead. But yet no Sasquatch Bigfoot. I'll take my answer off the air. God bless you both.
Well, you don't see much bear by the side of the road as roadkill either, though, and those are large, sometimes bipedal creatures. So I don't know necessarily that we can discount it just because roadkill. And because India has got another 130 satellites up there doesn't mean that they're training them on looking for Sasquatch. I guess, we'd have to know what they're researching and what they're looking for. And again, this is in the idea of, is the government more aware of this? Maybe that's why they're not actively, quote-unquote, researching it, is they already know it. And they're just leaving things alone and not trying to stir the pot because of the lumber industry or whatever other industries could be in. So I get where you're going, but there have been many hunters who have claimed to have seen Bigfoot, and many reputable people from all different walks of life that have witnessed and seen these creatures. So it's not like we're talking about a bunch of backwoods hillbillies that are drunk on moonshine that are the only ones ever seeing Bigfoot. Is that a pretty fair assessment, Eric, in your part?
Oh, it's a very fair assessment. And the gentleman does bring up some great points. But there are people from all walks of life who are claiming to have had encounters and sightings of the creature. There are footprint casts that have been studied by anatomy experts who have declared that, yes, those tracks are made by a real foot, not a fake carved wood cutout foot. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of circumstantial and anecdotal evidence out there. And the gentleman's right. There's no hard proof that Bigfoot exists. But there are too many people seeing something to discredit it completely. There's nothing going on. So
we're up at the top of the hour break, Eric. I want to thank you for joining us. You have a big event coming up here. And if people want to go out and investigate and meet other experiencers, how can they get tickets again?
PABigfootCampingAdventure.com.
All right. Eric Altman, our guest. We'll have links up to his website and more. And you can keep up with Eric and his research on Bigfoot and cryptids. We'll have him drop in from time to time and visit with us on that. When we return, we're going to talk with John Sable and Mary Becker as we look at investigating claims of paranormal activity. And they have some really unique perspectives on this. We'll deal with that when we return. For George Norrie, I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.